Acts chapter 9, starting with verse number 1 and on. In Acts chapter 7, verse 58, we read first time about Saul. The witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. These witnesses are actually the murderers of Stephen. In the beginning of chapter 8 of the book of Acts, again we find the name Saul. He was consenting unto death, the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. This seemed to be revealing to us that after the murder of Stephen, the persecution of other disciples accelerated, and that Saul apparently was an important member of that lynching group. Here in the beginning of chapter 9 we find Saul's name again, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest. Saul requested letters or recommendations or approvals from the high priest for the Jews that were in Damascus, the rulers of the synagogues, so that if he, Saul, would find any of this way, which is the disciples of Jesus Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, this seemed to be indicating that the jurisdiction of the high priest and the rulers in Jerusalem was extended over the other Jews that were living in other provinces. And also in Jerusalem, if there were some Roman citizens living, or some Greeks, or some other ones that were not Jews, the high priest had no power over them unless they would in some way defile the temple, the house of God, or did something similar. Here we see Saul of Tarsus that in a way defected to the other side when the rulers in Jerusalem, mainly the priests and the leaders of the Pharisees and scribes and lawyers and so on, were questioning the apostles Peter and John about healing the man that was impotent since his birth and so on. And the scribes, actually the priests, were kind of inclined to stone them to death, to murder Peter and John. But then there was that Gamaliel, one of the leading Pharisees, a very respected man and very influential person, that suggested, leave these men alone, lest you find yourselves fighting against God himself. Now here we find Saul of Tarsus, one of the prominent young Pharisees, not following the suggestion of Gamaliel, but rather joining the Sadducees, joining the priests in persecuting the Christians. Not only in Jerusalem, but also in the other cities. And as this young Pharisee journeyed, he came near Damascus. And then, unexpectedly, a huge, mighty flash of light, like a big lightning, shone round about him. Instantly, he was cast down to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord answered, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord answered unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. I wonder how many miracles of the Lord this Saul of Tarsus was aware of or familiar with. I wonder if he personally did meet Jesus of Nazareth. Did Saul of Tarsus ever witness some of the wonderful works that the Lord Jesus did? But if none of that happened, I think that he must have known the case with the disciples being delivered from the prison when the angel of the Lord opened the prison, let them out and told them, go right away into the temple and speak the words of this life. He must have been aware of the fact that the impotent man was healed through Peter and John. So there were quite a few very strong factors that indicated the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is working through his disciples. And the Spirit of God is so mightily proving, revealing who are his true people and his witnesses to the world. And here we have this young Pharisee, mad with hatred against the disciples of the Lord, against Christians. And he's very much firm in his decision that all these disciples of this Jesus of Nazareth must be destroyed. And he is going to preserve the purity of faith as the Pharisees have figured that out and were teaching the people. But the Lord has appointed yet another great miracle for this Saul of Tarsus to witness. Actually, this time he is going to experience that. That's going to be his own first-hand experience, first-hand meeting with this Jesus of Nazareth. In the chapter 22, verse number 6, Saul of Tarsus, now as the Apostle Paul, is giving his testimony about this great change that happened to him. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. In the chapter 26, verse 12 and on, another testimony of the Apostle Paul is given to before the King Agrippa. As I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. When this young Pharisee heard the voice of the Lord, how did he know that that was the Lord? He is saying, Who art thou, Lord? He probably thought many times, Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Who was he? Could it be that he really got back from the dead? If he was able to do such miracles, is it possible that God is not with him? But then, how can this, whoever he is, this great power, be against our Pharisaic leaders? And then, after a while, Saul changed his mind, I think. The Pharisees are also wrong. The only ones that are right are the priests, the murderers. So all the evils that Satan was able to root into the heart and mind of this young man were moved up against the Christians, against the Lord Jesus, actually. And now the Lord appeared to Saul of Tarsus and called him by his name, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? How did he know that it was the Lord? And if he knew it was the Lord, why would he ask, Who art thou? Art thou man or God? And the Lord answered, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What is the Lord saying to Saul of Tarsus? With his bare feet, or even if he had his sandals on his feet, it's very difficult for an unarmed man to fight against the warriors with spears. It is hard for an ignorant Pharisee, as was this Saul of Tarsus, to argue with the Almighty and All-Knowing God. It is difficult for Saul of Tarsus to fight against Christians, those that have been enlightened by the truth of the gospel, with his, Saul's, ignorant Pharisaic mind. And now Saul knew right away who Jesus is. Jesus is God himself. And Saul is trembling. And Saul is astonished. And Saul would not dare do anything else but obey this Jesus, the Almighty God. So he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord answered, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I sent thee. to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Saul of Tarsus was not all alone. There were other men, other zealots, young people probably, that were of the same inclination, same ambition to persecute the Christians. They all fell down to the ground. Some of these people have seen the big flash of light, but they did not understand a single word. The others did not see the light. They heard a voice, they heard some noise, and still did not understand anything. But very quickly, everything was over, and all the men stood up upon their feet, and so did Saul of Tarsus. There was only one difference. They could see one another, but Saul could see nobody, not even himself. He was blind. And when Saul arose from the earth and he opened his eyes, he saw no man. So his companions led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Saul of Tarsus was a cruel man. I imagine that until this time he had heard many cries and weeping and lamenting of children whose parents he imprisoned, of the elderly whose grown-up children he took to the prison to be tortured. But this time he heard the voice of him whom Saul of Tarsus was persecuting, torturing, and treating with such cruelty and evil. And this voice made a great difference in the life of Saul. It was a shocking moment, a very dramatic appearance of the Lord to Saul of Tarsus. It was such a drama that it cannot be described in words. And then after that, darkness, blindness. And Saul's companions took him by the hand, led him into the house of Judas in Damascus, in the street called Straight. And there is Saul of Tarsus. Long, slow hours are passing by. Every minute is like an hour. He is blind. And he is not eating. He is not drinking. All he can do is pray and pray and pray. How can it be that the same God to whom he did so much evil decided to pick him up, to pluck him out of the open jaws of hell and transfer him on another path, the path of salvation? Why would God do that to this Saul of Tarsus? And he is praying and praying and praying. One day is over, and then another day, long hours, and he is praying. And he doesn't want to eat. He does not want to drink. He is fasting 3 days and praying continually. But just as it was long ago, it has been recorded in the book of Daniel. This is Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belong unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done unto Jerusalem. And as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. That's how the Lord answered. The prayer of Daniel was answered in the beginning when Daniel started praying. And the prayer of Saul of Tarsus was answered the moment he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? But the hearing of Saul's soul was opened for the voice of the Lord after 3 days of praying and crying and fasting and trembling and recalling all the evils that he did and calling upon the name of the Lord for his name's sake and for his mercy's sake. And the Lord is calling another one of his servants. There is a certain man, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ at Damascus. His name is Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For, behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. This third day, Saul, in spite of his blindness, is seeing a vision for which he did not see the eyesight, but rather Saul's sight. Saul of Tarsus is seeing in this vision a disciple called Ananias, whom Saul of Tarsus came to persecute, to arrest, to take to Jerusalem's prison to be tortured. Saul is now seeing this disciple, and this disciple is coming to Saul in this vision to heal Saul of his blindness, to mark the end of this transition period. Saul is going to become a new man, Paul, the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Ananias, receiving this message from the Lord, answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I wonder how many seconds or how many minutes Ananias needed to put all these things together in his mind to somehow make it clear to him what is going on here. When Ananias heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ Ananias knew very well that this is the voice of him who bore the burden of the cross from Jerusalem to Golgotha, the mighty Lamb of God that through grief and pain and agony was victorious, because in his heart there is that eternal heavenly love for the souls he came to deliver from ruins. Ananias knew very well that this is the same Lord that said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." And Ananias took the testimony of the Lord into his heart, and with the name of Christ upon his lips, Ananias is walking toward the place where he is going to meet this awful, dangerous, cruel, heartless persecutor. No, no, no. It's over. That man does not exist anymore. That man died in the desert before he entered Damascus, when the flash of light of the truth fell down upon him, when he heard the voice of him that never uttered a lie. Saul of Tarsus died, and Paul, disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, was born. And so Ananias went his way, and here he is entering into the house. No explanation needed, no introduction. They both received the same vision, two parts of the same vision, two sections of the same message. And Ananias stretched forth his hand upon the head of Saul of Tarsus, and he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Immediately there fell from Saul's eyes something like scales, and he received his sight forthwith. And whom did Saul of Tarsus see? His brother Ananias. And two Christian brothers could only embrace one another. He received his sight and arose, and he was hesitant. For many years of his journey, a journey that was so dramatic, with so much persecution from the enemies of the gospel, with so many difficulties getting that gospel across to the minds of the Gentiles, Paul has never forgotten this crucial moment in his journey. And in chapter 22, verse 13, Paul is, from his memory, bringing another testimony to the Hebrew people that hated Jesus Christ and his disciples, and especially Paul the apostle that was so zealously preaching that Christ is the Savior. And he said to them, "One Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there in Damascus, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." And at that time, Saul of Tarsus was hesitant. How can he be baptized? He did so much evil to the Church of Christ. how can he be named as one of his disciples? But Ananias said unto him, And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul, do not dwell upon the burden of thy sins. Do not think how great and awful thy sins are. Don't think that anymore. Think how great and wonderful is the mercy of the Almighty God, and how greatly Jesus Christ has paid for thy sins. Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord. And so it was confirmed. Saul of Tarsus is Brother Paul. And now this newly baptized convert is enjoying the hospitality of the same people he came to persecute. But everything is different now. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Now these must be the Jews, or mixed people, half Jews, half Syrian, or Roman, or Greek, and so on. Some of them not Christians yet, perhaps inclined toward Christianity, and so on. And they are wondering, apparently, the coming of Saul of Tarsus as a persecutor under the authority of the high priest in Jerusalem was known publicly. And they're wondering, what's going on? This man has been turned around 180 degrees. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, Jews that were not Christians and that were opposing Christianity. Paul was proving to them that this Jesus is the very Christ. After many days, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known to Saul. They planned to ambush him. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him if he tried to get out of the city. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. I firmly believe that the Apostle Paul, or this converted brother Saul of Tarsus, was led by the Lord to preach Jesus in the synagogues in Damascus. And just as well, he, Paul, was led by the Spirit of the Lord to escape from the hands of these murderous Jews. And here he is in Jerusalem, and he is trying to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They suspected that this Saul of Tarsus is an infiltrator. He wants somehow to sneak in the circle of the believers, that he might do them harm, that he might betray them to the priests. But here is a Levite. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. What do we see here? Saul of Tarsus tried to join the disciples, but they didn't allow him to mix with them. And Saul of Tarsus was not able to come to the apostles. He could not find them. So we see here that the apostles were preaching, they were teaching, they were doing miracles and all kind of wonderful things, but they were also hiding. Not too many people were able to come to them from the outside world. But Barnabas found Saul of Tarsus and brought him to the apostles. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. When the brethren knew that, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Tarsus is sufficiently distant from Jerusalem that the Jews have no power to accomplish their murderous intentions. After the departure of Saul, the churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. For a certain period of time, the gospel was spreading in a quiet, more peaceful, tranquil way. The churches were growing, the churches were multiplied, the number of the believers was growing day by day, and there were apparently communities, the whole areas converted to the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. After Saul's departure to Tarsus, the book seemed to be silent about him for a while, all the way until chapter 11, verse 25, when again Barnabas is looking for Saul in Tarsus. And then by the end of this chapter, the prophet Agabus is coming down from Jerusalem and declaring that there will be time of famine and scarcity of food and so on. And here we see the first action of Saul of Tarsus among the disciples after a while in this bringing help from the believers that are far away from Jerusalem into the city of Jerusalem to help those Christians that live in Judea. And here in chapter 9, from the verse number 31 and on, we are following again the development and the events that happen among the believers in Judea.